This will be a condensed version of the lecture on thanks that I gave last summer. That is summer 2020. You can find a more detailed lecture if you go back to the course lectures from Indigenous Education 359 summer 2020, which you can find through my UVic webpage. In that lecture, I pronounced every word of the lesson. And we went also went carefully through every single conversation. But now I'm going to assume that you've all done this material before. Some of you are quite familiar with it. Some of you need significantly more practice with it. I will be just giving an overview of the material in this unit and then giving you most of the next 40 minutes to, sorry, 70 minutes to practice it. You all know at least a couple of ways of saying thank you in Nuchanov, but actually there are many ways of saying thank you, and some of those are demonstrated in conversation one of this unit. The first ways to say thank you that we learn are usually ush-yakshitlitz in Barkley Sound, ush-chakshitlitzk in the central region, and machtakshitlitz in the north. That's sort of an everyday thank you. Then there's tleko or tlako, depending on dialect, and there are strongly differing opinions on whether tleko tlako is an everyday thank you or not. Roughly speaking, the people at the northern and southern ends of the West Coast are more likely to use it as an everyday thank you. Benson, I believe, considers it an everyday thank you. Tlako is totally an everyday thank you in Cayucat. But in the central region, quite a few elders teach that tleko was traditionally a potlatch thank you, and it is best reserved for formal situations. So this is one of the cases where you need to talk to your elders and your mentors and your family about the best way to use tleko in your dialect. Those two thank yous that I just listed are the ones we learn first in the survival conversations. The survival conversations also include the phrase, thank you for feeding me, which is always polite to use. In this unit, we're going to add to that by learning several more ways of saying thank you, distinguishing them roughly by formality. So, learning which ones are everyday thank yous, which ones are for formal situations, when we should use one versus another. But the most difficult thing we're studying in this unit is how to make embedded sentences inside our thank yous. So, when we want to thank for a specific thing, thank you for giving me that, thank you for coming to my party. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for cooking. In these cases, we usually want to make an embedded description or sentence of the thing that we're thanking for, and we're going to learn how to do that. Let me go over the conversations in this unit, and then I will give you plenty of time to go over them with your partners in your groups, and you can decide on how fast to move in your groups. Conversation one gives you several thank yous, roughly organized from less formal to more formal. You should review all of these and come back to the debriefing period with questions about the ones you don't understand, or if you want to, if you have questions about when they should be used. Conversation two has ways of saying thank you for an object, a gift. Now, this is the kind of thing that we normally wouldn't talk about in Nuchanov. When someone gives a gift, the gift is given, the gift is accepted, but usually not many words are exchanged. However, we are practicing talking about it because we want to know how to say things about it just in case. There will be situations where you want to describe who gave what to whom to say thank you for a particular gift, and that's what we're practicing. Conversation three gives us ways to say thank you for the food. And conversation four gives us thank yous that we can use in a situation where one person is hosting another. I'm going to go to conversation four and take the next to last sentence. Thank you for having me. Thank you for hosting me. And I'm going to use this sentence to illustrate one of the fundamental alternations that we're learning in this unit. I've just put two versions of this sentence in the chat. So this is Barkly Sound dialect, and in a second we'll do it in Central Northern dialect. The sentence as given in your unit is Ush yakshitle it's hit up sit ya. Ush yakshitle it's hit up sit ya. Thank you for hosting me. This sentence has one mood ending, the ending me it's. Ush yakshitle it's hit up sit ya. Thank you for hosting me. We're going to compare this to the slightly longer sentence. Ush yakshitle it's anik hit upsuk sit ya. Ush yakshitle it's anik hit upsuk sit ya. This means the same thing. Thank you for hosting me. The difference is that the second sentence has two mood endings, me it's in the main clause and suk in the embedded clause. In addition, because this is a Barkly Sound dialect, the glue word ani agrees with the subject of its clause. The subject of the embedded clause is you, therefore we use anik instead of ani. If you want all of the forms of ani, they're on the expert mood guide. These two constructions, the two constructions illustrated by these two slightly different examples, are important enough that we have names for them. The first one is a serial verb construction. Serial verb. We say that ushyakshitle has a serial verb because it has two verbs in a row. Ushyakshit is a verb to be useful. Hit up is a verb to host someone, to have someone at a place. And in this sentence, the two verbs are just smashed together. There's no glue or anything joining them together. They're just said one after the other. They're in a series. That's why they're called serial. Serial verb, same as a serial killer who kills people in a series. Take the second example, ush akshitlets anik hitap suksiya. In this case, we do not have a serial verb, rather, we have some glue in between the two verbs. The glue is ani. Ani is a special word in Nuchanalth that is used to start an embedded clause. You can think of it as similar to the English word that. So in English, I might say, I want to acknowledge that. You host me, or Della told me that she hosted Tess. That in English and the ani in Nuchanalth is a glue word whose purpose is to introduce a new embedded sentence. This is when we need to give more detail about something. In this unit, we're giving more detail about what we're thanking for. We just had an important clarifying question. It's easy to get confused here because there's so many Nuchanalth words that sound kind of like ani, ana, ani, ani. It can be easy to mix them up. And in addition, the important glue word that we're talking about here, ani, is only pronounced ani in Barkly Sound dialects. In Central Northern dialects, it's pronounced in, glottal stop I-N, in. So, this second example, thank you that you host me. Ush yakshitle it's anik hit up suksiya. That's the Barkly Sound version. The colloquial version would be ush chakshitlitsk in hit up suk sichil. Ush chakshitlitsk in hit up suk sichil. And the Cayucan version would be mach takshlitz in hit up peak sichil. Mach takshlitz in So the glue word we're talking about is pronounced in Central Northern dialects and ani in Barkly Sound dialects. So as I was saying, we're comparing two constructions. There's the serial verb construction where we cram two verbs together into one clause, and that one clause only needs one mood ending, as in ushakshitleetsihlapsiya. Then there's the embedded clause construction where we embed one clause inside another. And there's a general rule in Nuchanalth that every clause needs a mood ending. This is one of the most fundamental rules of Nuchanalth sentence structure. Once you master this, you can say almost anything you want. Every clause requires a mood ending. So when we use ani or in to introduce an embedded clause, that new embedded clause also needs a mood ending. Now compare the second example, ush akshitleets anik hit up suksiya, to tleko anik hit up suksiya. Tleko anik hit up suksiya. I put meits in brackets here because we can say tleko meits, but tleko is a interjection that doesn't require a mood ending. So it breaks the normal rules of the language. The important thing is that with teiko is not a verb. So teiko cannot participate in a serial verb construction. So if you want to say thank you for hosting me and you want to use the word teiko, your only option is the embedded clause construction. Teiko anik hilapsuk siya. Teiko anik hilapsuk siya. In Cayucan, the corresponding sentence would be Tlako in hilapik sichil. Tlako in hilapik sichil. And in Cayucan, that's the usual way to say thank you, right? Tlako is heard a lot more frequently than Mahtakshk in Cayucan dialect. This short lecture is meant to give you an overview of the thanks unit, and in particular to draw your attention to these two constructions, the serial verb construction and the embedded clause construction. As you go work your way through this unit in your groups, please take note with every thank you, how many clauses does it consist of? Let's do a couple of examples just so you can see what I mean. Okay, we're looking at conversation two. The second line on this page, Ushakshitle. Thank you for giving me it. Ushakshitle. How many clauses are in this sentence? Remember, each clause has its own mood ending. So you can count the number of clauses by counting the number of mood endings. How many clauses are in this sentence? Ushakshitle. Correct, there's exactly one clause in this sentence. Can someone find a sentence in these conversations that has two clauses? So take the sentence, Teiko wa ma yakiti al sikil. I thank those who cooked. Teiko wa ma yakiti al sikil. This has two clauses, one embedded inside the other, and we know that because there are two mood endings. The main clause is Teiko wa ma, I say thank you. Teiko wa ma, and its mood ending is ma. The embedded clause is yakiti al-siqil, the ones who cooked, and its mood ending is yi. This is the weak mood. Yi, yakiti al-siqil, the ones who cooked. We're using the weak mood here because we don't know who cooked. So we're eating at a feast. I assume someone cooked, but I don't know who. Then I would use the weak mood. If I knew who cooked, I might use the definite mood. I might say Eko wa ma yakit itq al-siqil. The definite mood would have the same meaning, except that it would imply that I know who I'm talking about. Can someone put this in central or northern dialect? I thank those who cooked. Cayuga dialect. I want to say thank you to those who cooked. True.